What the f***?
No, it's okay. On this show, you can say fuck.
Saturday nights ask you, what the fuck, with me, Josh Hadley. And, even though she's slightly hobbled, the cat is back.
Woo! Oh, it's been a weird 3 weeks.
Trust me, the episodes you missed were equally weird, so you missed a lot. And we have Charlie broke his headset. He can't be here. So we have Alex Jowski from Geek Juice Media sitting in for Charlie this week.
My real name is Charlie McMullen, so it makes sense.
That is, see, I've always told people your real name is not Alex Jowski, and no one believes me. It's weird how that works.
Because Charlie McMullen is not Charlie McMullen's real name.
All right, so let's just get into...
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Okay, we've had dumbest thing for well over 100 episodes. This might actually be the dumbest thing what the fuck has ever examined. PETA is looking to buy Jeffrey Dahmer's boyhood home so they can turn it into a vegan restaurant as a statement against the slaughter of animals.
It's so hard not to laugh while you're describing this.
I'm trying to be relatively serious, too.
It's not working. Because you read it out loud, therefore it's not working.
Your initial thoughts on this, Alex, before we get into the, no pun intended, meat of the article?
Meat. My initial thoughts are, it's a statement about the slaughter of animals, but the only animals slaughtered there were human beings, which makes me think of that quote from Elephant Man. I am not an animal, I am a human being.
We all know PETA is run by Ingrid Newkirk, a renowned crazy person. She's doubling down on this crazy, quoting her. We are always looking forward to ways to draw attention to the violence inherent in the production of meat, eggs, and milk, which involve processes that would shock all hard-heartened person. Let's examine that statement for just a second. Eggs and milk? Milk is somehow abusive to animals?
Machines, I guess.
No, I'm going to say this straight out. Cows produce milk naturally, and it builds up. Like when your bladder's full and it hurts, when cows get milked, it actually relieves the pressure on their udders. In other words, wild cows who don't get milked are in pain. So by milking a cow, you're actually lessening its pain. So where in the fuck does she get off saying milk is evil?
Well, I think probably there are arguments to be made when you look at all the processes. Not specifically just milking a cow, but the way that cows are raised, the way that they're kept. There's a lot more than just, hey, we're going to milk a cow. There's huge amounts of process that go into it. But
eggs?
That's neither here nor there.
Eggs? I mean, eggs, they're basically chicken abortions. I get that. But what are we supposed to do? Just throw them all away or scramble them?
It's more like the conditions that animals are kept in, I think, are... what she's not so really well driving home.
No. Ingrid Newkirk is a true crazy, as I pointed out. Ingrid Newkirk actually believes that animals should have the same rights as people, that animals should not be kept on leashes, or like a dog should not have an owner. A dog should have legal rights to the home it lives in. I'm not kidding. Ingrid is basically saying eggs and milk are evil inherently.
Okay, well, I mean, she has some valid points where she's coming from, but she's fucking insane, not gonna lie.
So she thinks dogs can own homes.
Essentially.
I mean, that's a level of crazy.
Yeah, that dog's gonna have a hard time paying that mortgage. But
well, I don't know if he boned up on mortgage law. Cat. Thanks.
I was going to make a joke, but it only would have made sense in my other podcast, so I'm sorry, I've got nothing.
Well, I think she's just doing it for publicity. Look, we're buying Dahmer's house, but she's going to have a hard time opening a restaurant because of zoning laws.
Not just that, but...
That was actually my very first thought with this, was how in the middle of somebody's neighborhood... are you going to open up a restaurant? There had to be zoning laws that just would have annihilated all of those plans. Well, that was actually my very, very first thought.
But then there's also the angle of, let's say for the sake of argument, this restaurant would open, okay? Do you want to be eating in a former serial killer's house where murders actually took place?
Well, unless they were cannibalistic murders, I don't really care. Is that weird?
Eat for life, home cooking. It would offer entrees such as chipotle barbecue tofu kebabs and vegan creamy chicken casserole made from faux chicken and dairy-free sour cream. Why not just chemicals at that point, right?
That's not what we would actually call food. So can it really be called eating? Can it really be called a restaurant?
It's still considered food. It's edible. It's still a restaurant.
Yeah, sticks are edible too. That doesn't make them food.
That's right. You should probably only camp out in commercial zones.
Let's move from that to something a little more serious that really pissed me off. You know what? I'm starting to think Florida deserves its reputation as America's Wang because it seems like all the crazy. You've never heard that one?
No, it's just I have the sense of humor of a 10-year-old, so of course it's funny.
Got it. Well, in Hermosa, Florida, Cody Wygrant, 24 years old, killed his son, his 16-month-old son, because the kid would not stop crying and he wanted to play Xbox. Why are people like this? Why are people like this? Seriously, your kid comes before Halo. This is not Socket Ryan's.
Okay, I've had my kids bug me while I'm playing video games before, and it gets aggravating, but I've never wanted to kill them over it. The fact that this guy killed a kid so he could keep playing Xbox, that guy's crazy and should be in jail for a very long time.
This is one of those things where you're forced to pass a test and get a license to drive a car. Why in God's green earth are you not required to pass a test and get a license to breed? Because people like this who value something stupid, like this guy was playing Xbox and watching Fringe, why is somebody who values that over another human being's life allowed to bring life into this world?
And why had social services or something not stepped in further? Because there's no possible way that this guy did this, and this was the first time he's abused this child. You don't go from I love my kid to God damn it, I got sniped! Kill the kid! There's a long process in between here. No one saw something wrong?
It's always the quiet ones. This guy was quite young and apparently had two children already. And there's just something where there are certain levels of maturity. Certain levels of maturity have clearly not been achieved if he can't step away from a fucking video game for a few minutes to take care of a crying baby. That is not somebody who should have children. He's clearly too young, too immature, too stupid. Inhuman. I don't know. Stupid's a really excellent word.
I'd like to think perhaps, because it says that the girlfriend was not home, that maybe she was always home every day for the past 16 months, and that was her first night out.
Yeah.
Because that would make more sense of, you know, how this could go on that long before he killed the kid.
This disturbed me, because obviously I was a father in the 90s, and yes, I got mad at my son when he was an infant if I was trying to watch TV, but you know what? Kid comes first. The TV, can watch that later. You can play a game again. You don't kill your kid over this.
What really bothers me is how the headline emphasizes that he killed the son in order to play video games. Obviously this is very tragic and very horrible, and this guy is very, very guilty, but this could have been an accidental suffocation. It probably wasn't, but it could have been. But the emphasis is that he did it to play video games, when the article very clearly states that he played Xbox for a little while and then watched 3 episodes of Fringe, and that there was a 5-hour period over which he had the baby in the crib or whatever, and until the girlfriend or whoever came home. So in that span of time, he spent more time watching TV than he did playing video games. So yeah. I'm just saying, his moral compass is very, very wrong, but the blame is going to be put by certain media people that this is like another one of those knocks on video games, saying video games are bad, video games are evil, blah, 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 blah. Here, television is just as bad because he spent even more time watching television. I'm just saying.
And this is just one random guy that murdered so he could play Xbox and watch TV. It's not a statistic that Xbox does this to everybody.
But I bet you will see that statistic start to be bandied about on Fox News and CNN because they like to do
absolutely.
That kind of thing.
We've probably had more people kill their children over Farmville than over Xbox.
And let's move from that to Sandra Suarez. Did you guys ever see the Sandra Suarez video from a week or two ago from, again, Florida, but this time Pinellas Park, Florida?
Okay, this is the naked lady that went crazy, right?
Yes, she took her clothes off and went topless rampaging through a McDonald's because she offered oral sex to one of the employees in the parking lot, and when he turned her down, she freaked out. Oh, and she tried to come on to the officer that was arresting her, too.
I mean, the things that you've said are words, and then when you put them together, they don't make sense.
They do, don't they, Alex? Kind of, somewhat?
I guess.
Okay, what actually happened is she's bipolar, and she was off her meds. She's a mother of three. She was off her meds, and she doesn't even remember doing all this. And it was, of course, caught on security camera video, so the internet got a hold of it and went wild with it. It went completely viral. She's embarrassed by it, but she's basically, I'm back on my meds. Everything is fine. Here's the thing. She is trying to sue everyone who has the video to try and get it removed from the internet.
Is she trying to sue YouTube or something? Like, that's going to work?
She's had it pulled from YouTube, but it's, of course, on Gawker and Vimeo and all this. And basically, they're trying to get this removed from the internet. And as we all know, that's never going to happen. It's out there. It's out there.
Yeah, she's fighting a losing battle there, trying to get it gone. I mean, the best she needs to do is accept that she did this. It happened. It's embarrassing. Get on with your life.
Well, and there's also the other weird side effect of this. And this is something we've seen a lot in the last year or two. The McDonald's employees who uploaded the video were fired. They probably violated some sort of clause for working at McDonald's. Fine, fair enough. But aren't they kind of... I mean, I don't think they should have been fired because this is the kind of video that if I was working there, I'd go, I need to show this to people. Would either of you not have uploaded this video if you had it?
I would have done it hella discreetly. I would have done it in ways, untraceable ways, if at all possible.
I would have uploaded it as a private video and only shared it with friends that I wanted to show. Oh, you gotta check this out from what happened at work the other day. I wouldn't have given it to the public because that's just asking to be fired.
Do you think then that the McDonald's employee should have been fired?
Yep.
You do?
Yeah. That surveillance footage is the property of McDonald's. I mean, it's McDonald's choice what happens to that surveillance footage. That's a company's personal property, and they're basically sharing it with the world. It, you know, there's several rules against that at any company you ever work at.
Cat. Now, if they'd have filmed it themselves on their own thing, that would have probably been a different story. But you're right. They were using security footage, which is considered sensitive material to any company.
I don't disagree with either of you, but I don't agree with either of you either. I look at it as McDonald's probably overreacted because, first of all, of course, McDonald's wants this to go away. So is firing the two employees and getting that put into the news the best way for McDonald's to get away from this? Probably not.
I think it helps them kind of buffer the eventual lawsuit that she's going to file with them for the footage getting out, so they can say, look, we've already taken all the measures that we can. The people who did this are no longer with the company. We can't be held responsible any further.
Okay.
They're covering their own asses.
Why would she be able to sue McDonald's, though? Because she's the one who took her clothes off and went rampaging through their restaurant, committing numerous crimes. Why would that be McDonald's fault that they even have the security camera video? Yes, the leak.
Because
and that's
this
not
is
even
America.
McDonald's fault. The leak is of the employees who have been disciplined.
This is America, and we will literally sue anybody for anything. If a fucking burglar can sue a homeowner in a house he's trying to rob for slipping on the fucking sidewalk, or whatever that is, then absolutely somebody is going to try and sue for this whole video getting leaked to begin with. It's going to happen.
McDonald's, like any fast food restaurant, makes an easy target for suing because it seems like they have bottomless pits of money.
Which they can't give to their employees, but that's a different argument.
Yeah, I mean, so McDonald's and stuff, they're easy targets to sue, and people try to sue them all the time. You know, oh, coffee's too hot, sue McDonald's. I didn't get enough napkin.
We covered the napkin one on this show, remember, Kat?
I do remember. Oh, wow.
What I'm going to do then is I'm going to say this lawsuit thing is going to get worse. After we go to Hart, we'll come back and we'll talk about the strange clauses that are involved in lawsuits. We'll be right back.
Welcome to Heart Attack, folks. I am Heart D. Fisher. With me is Mr. Josh Hadley. And yes, the Heart Attack show was banned, censored, knocked out of play. Whatever word you want to use, someone made sure that you could not hear Heart Attack episode number 48 with Chris J. Miller. Josh was the point man on that. So Josh, why don't you tell the audience why they were unable to hear the podcast of Heart Attack 48 this week?
I uploaded it to SoundCloud, as I do every week. Then when our web mistress went to go make it live, she's like, where is it? I uploaded it. Why isn't it there? And she was right. It wasn't there. Well, we got a nice message from SoundCloud that the episode, keep in mind, this was still in a private folder and had not gone live yet.
So what you're saying is SoundCloud's web bot is searching through private files.
Yes. I had just uploaded it when they yanked. So it had not gone live. No one could have heard it except you, me, and Cassandra, since we're the only ones with access to that folder, outside of SoundCloud, obviously. And
obviously.
We got a message that the Iggy and the Stooges song that you've been using as the opening for 20, 25 episodes now was the reason that it was taken down for copyright violations. But only episode 48, not the other 20-plus episodes where you used the same song.
Now, we have gone into length on here to discuss how copyright protection laws are being used to suppress political speech. On that episode of Heart Attack 48, we really go into the dark side of affordable health care and the real costs of the Affordable Health Care Act, and one man's almost being killed by his doctors, his mother almost being killed by her doctors. And this is a regular thing happening in Los Angeles. And so this episode is all about that and about the director has his film coming out, 2035 for Forbidden Dimensions. And like we said, the Iggy Pop song has been played in its entirety in The Best of Heart Attack. It's the opening of every Heart Attack episode since The Best of, which was number 35. Jackalope Radio is a radio station, and we have all of our paperwork filed. All our fees are paid. We have been talking deeply with the owner and the co-owner of Jackalope to find out what's going on. And the number two person at Jackalope agrees with me that this show was targeted, and somebody wanted to make sure that you didn't hear this episode. Well, what we're going to do is we're going to yank that Iggy Pop song out. We're going to put a different piece of music in there that is a friend of the show, and we're going to have the podcast up this week. And before we really get going on some stuff Josh wants to mention, if you guys want to get down with me and see what I'm like at a major political meeting, we are having another one of these goddamn bike lane community meetings is happening May 8th from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. at Nightingale Middle School Cafeteria at 3311 North Figueroa Street at the corner of Cypress Avenue. And it's all about these assholes wanting to take the most heavily trafficked street that's a Class 2 highway, that it's against federal law to fuck with this street, and they want to remove vehicle lanes and put in goddamn ghost bike lanes. And they've already impacted emergency response times. The LAPD has now had to yank four vehicles away from violent crimes to get involved in traffic because of the epidemic of hit and runs that are happening here in Highland Park, which is number three in crime per capita in the fucking country. That's right. So cops are being pulled from violent crime to deal with hit and runs and traffic caused because of these ghost bike lanes that the city paid $85,000 per mile paint these things on. It's come out that a painted bike lane is no safer than just riding on the street. Colossal waste of money. We need to let our council member Gilbert Cedillo know that this is bullshit. There's already a safer bike path, an alternative bike path on a different street that's been voted in by several of the local neighborhoods. And this is the reason I'm bringing this up, guys, is because they shouldn't even be having this meeting. It's already been voted by several townships that they don't want this stuff. They want the street to remain the way it is. But City Hall wants to get their hands on that $85,000 a mile so they could get in there and get their kickbacks and do all their dirty, dirty deeds. We're going to stop them. I want you guys to come out. Hook up with me, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Come out at 6 p.m. We're going to be there. Come meet me. You got books you want me to sign? I'll be there. And we're going to be getting in their fucking faces because I'm sick of these elected representatives only representing the people with the dollars and not the people that actually live here. And this is happening all over the country. These things are happening in your town, in your city. You want to know why traffic's getting worse? It's because of crap like this. Now, Josh, you were telling me something about their voting on net neutrality today. As we record this on a Thursday.
Yes.
What's going down?
We record this on a Thursday. It'll air on Saturday. Today, the FCC, the word is the FCC is going to stop fighting for net neutrality and allow Verizon and Comcast and Time Warner, etc., everything we've been warning you about, to be able to regulate the internet and its speeds specifically. If you pay more, you'll get faster service. If you don't want to pay more, you get a trickle.
And here's the issue, guys. Here's the thing that you, as a consumer with your smartphone or your Netflix account, these guys are gonna fuck you, all right? We need net neutrality because net neutrality protects you, the customer. Your bills are gonna get worse.
Exactly.
Your service everyone is gonna keeps, get worse.
Everyone keeps pointing out, well, that's not my problem.
It is your problem.
It is, because who do you think they're gonna pass the cost on to?
All consumers are heading towards the internet. There's a huge, we've lost our mom and pop stores. People are no longer buying their electronic goods from Best Buy. People are doing a great deal of their shopping online. People are now cutting the cord from cable, but they're hooking up another cord from the internet. It's the new cable bill. The internet is your new cable bill. And a lot of people are looking for ways to jack your bill up. This is why we need net neutrality. Net neutrality is so important to keep your services and your costs reasonable. And that's the secret that they won't want you to talk about. It's very simply, AT&T and all these giant corporations hate net neutrality because it limits their ability to bill you more money. And that's what this is about. It's about the money, guys. AT&T does not give a flying fuck about your satisfaction, about your life, or even about if you care if they're giving you a good product or rendering a service that you paid for. They're a publicly traded corporation that is in the business of making money any way they can. And that's why we need to contact folks about net neutrality. This is something, and here's the thing, I want everybody to understand that just because something goes one way doesn't mean it can't come back. We are in control. We control this. And you brought up something else too, Josh, that I thought was interesting. You mentioned to me this thing about MindGeek. I have never heard about this. What the fuck is MindGeek?
We'll go into it more in another episode because we don't have time for this. MindGeek is basically the secret company, and they've gone out of their way to make sure that you've never heard of them, that owns RedTube, PornTube, TrannyTube, GayTube. They own 90% of the tube sites and the free porn on the internet. The thing is, they don't want you to know that. They are ripping off their artists, the actual porn stars that work for a lot of these sites. They're intimidating them. And as soon as they were asking porn stars about it, they're like, I want to keep working in the industry. I can't talk about MindGeek. It's the mafia, man.
Wow.
It's the porno mafia on the internet.
Well, I'm really glad I'm no longer in that industry. You know, I'm glad that I left. I had a great time when I worked in that business, and I'm glad that I'm no longer in that business. I really enjoy doing American Horrors a lot more. Things are going really good with American Horrors. If you guys at home didn't know, I do a 24-hour uncut free-to-watch horror channel, and things are going really well for that channel.
And you almost have no competition anymore either.
Yeah, we've been celebrating. I went out and I saw Joe Rogan last week as my celebration for FearNet being dissolved. And, you know, for all those punks online that want to rain on my parade and say, whoa, you're celebrating somebody getting fired. I'm not. Comcast was going to fire those poor bastards no matter what. And nothing I said or did was going to help those guys keep their jobs. So you keep your bullshit criticisms to yourself, you punk bitches. But if you want to talk to me anyway, I'm on Twitter, Hart_Fisher, or Heart Attack Radio on Facebook, facebook.com/Heart Attack Radio. And guys, go ahead and hit that like button. Get on there, hit the like button. It drives people nuts. The more likes we get for Heart Attack, the more it bothers the suits. And tune in this week for a really good episode of Heart Attack. We brought on Warren Abbott, who's worked with Lucasfilm on marketing of the Star Wars products. And we got one hell of a great show out of him, too. So, guys, thanks for listening. You know, we're coming up on our 50th episode of Heart Attack, and I really like working at Jackalope. I love doing the show. I love talking to everybody. I love hearing from you guys. I hear so many cool stories, so many great, interesting things happening out there in the blogosphere, et cetera, because a lot of stories that we've talked about on Heart Attack have been reader-generated. I have gotten a lot of leads and a lot of good information from you guys online. So even though I may bitch and moan about a troll here and there, for the most part, we're getting really great feedback, and I really appreciate it. You guys have been great. You've been giving me really, really kick-ass feedback. And you know what else? Hey, I might as well put in a plug for the Emerald Gore Society, because my wife has her very first interview. She is the co-owner here at American Horrors, and she's, you know, people talk about women in horror, but over at American Horrors, there's a woman in charge. You know, Waka is in charge of a lot of the programming and a lot of the scheduling for the bulk of the schedule. I normally do Sundays, and we go back and forth, but 90% of what's on American Horrors is scheduled by Waka, scheduled by a woman. And so she has her first interview over at the Emerald Gore Society. Check it out. I'm Hart Fisher. Thanks for listening. I'll talk to you guys next week.
Get coupons from various websites like maybe General Mills or anything like that. And I'm not asking you because I'm being a sexist pig because women clip coupons. I'm just saying, do you get coupons from online places where, you know, you have to agree to this privacy policy thing and then you get to print the coupon?
I can't say that I've ever really done anything like that, mostly because I don't really clip coupons like a good woman should. But I do get like offers and stuff in my emails from various places, including my workplace. So I think because I've had to sign up for stuff for that I've probably filled out some form or another.
Alex, do you get coupons from these websites?
Martha gets those coupons, and I use them. I'm sure that she's come across the terms of use or privacy policies before.
Have either of you ever actually read the privacy policies before just going, I agree, whatever, I don't care?
Don't be ridiculous. Nobody has time for that.
Well, that's what General Mills counted on. By getting coupons from General Mills' website, when you agree to their privacy policy in their TOS, they have buried in their legalese, by accepting this agreement, you waive your right to sue us now or in the future. So essentially, they are tricking you into giving away your right to sue them if they do something like you find a scorpion in your box of Golden Grahams or whatever. You can't sue because you got that 55-cent off coupon. Is this going down a dangerous path? Or is this even, could that even hold up in court? I mean, I don't even know how legal that would be.
Yes, that is an incredibly dangerous path. Will it hold up in court? I don't think it would. Just because that is some shady fucking shit right there. And I think any lawmaker would know that. Any judge or anything would know, God, that's really fucking shady.
The whole story reminds me of that iPad episode of South Park with the terms and conditions for iTunes and the whole, why doesn't it read? There was a little thing in the iTunes terms and conditions that you give iTunes permission to show you math to ask to another person to develop future Apple products. But since nobody reads the terms and conditions, nobody noticed that they'd agreed to that.
Well,
it's kind of like that, right? Yeah.
But I'm looking at this more in a more dangerous, broader scope. What about something like, okay, Monsanto owns all these different companies under all their different brands. What if Monsanto, who is being sued across the board, I mean, they've got hundreds of different lawsuits against them right now for civil liabilities. What if Monsanto decided to bury this in their legalese, like, oh, your purchase of Weed Killer, by the fact that you buy it from a store and use it on your lawn, negates your ability to sue us if it therefore seeps into your water system and poisons your entire family. This is a dangerous way to go, the saying, hey, just by using our product, you are waiving your right to sue us for any kind of damages our product may bring you. This is a, people always talk about the slippery slope of censorship. This is a slippery slope of legalese, I believe.
Yeah, it's really scary because they can slip it into anywhere. And one of the examples the article that we're talking about used was just liking their company on Facebook.
Yeah, if you like their Facebook page, you have waived your right to sue. What the fuck is happening?
At no point in time was any part of social media and its, you know, intended uses ever to prevent somebody, a greedy bastard company, from getting sued for their mistakes. Like, that's insanity.
I think a story like this, yes, we would be heading down that slope, but thank God we have stories like this to tell people, hey, you should probably read those terms of service now. So there would be less companies trying to get away with it. So I think by having this out there, you know, for people to see, hey, companies are trying to screw you, it's not going to happen as much. It's not going to turn into the contract dystopia that it could.
But what if it does? What if they go the collusion route where, say, using my Monsanto example, that Monsanto teams up, their legal departments team up with all of their competitors, and they say, okay, for glue, let's just say glue. If you want glue, every single glue manufacturer puts this in there. So there is no legal way to use any kind of glue on anything without agreeing to not sue over it. You don't see that these companies would collude with one another to make it that, or like, you know, Monsanto produces Roundup, the weed killer, that every weed killer out there would put this in their TOS to the point where there is no weed killer you can buy where you don't give away your right to sue. You don't see this as just the most duplicitous legal maneuvering ever?
Oh, it is. I think you're just going to a far extreme, though, because I don't see, like, every company doing this, especially since the news busted one. I don't think others are going to be that daring.
I think the way you're describing it with companies all working together, that'll never happen because we can't get that many companies to work together for anything. It is really scary to think about whether or not it would really happen that way. I don't know. Because I don't think it would hold up in court very well, even though, you know, it's written in some small font somewhere. I just don't think it would hold up in court because I think any judge would recognize the impracticality of it. On the one hand, I can totally kind of get where these companies are coming from because this is a country of small, dumb, stupid, wasting everybody's time kind of lawsuits. And hopefully what would be happening here would be we stop wasting everybody's time with stupid lawsuits where nobody was really hurt and nothing really comes of it other than somebody trying to make a buck. And hopefully that would prevent, you know, somebody from suing, saying, well, this box is lying because it says natural when not every single ingredient inside is natural. And we could stick to bigger lawsuits like, hey, one of your employees put glass in my box of cereal. You know,
I still
you
like
know,
my
some...
scorpion in the Golden Grahams example. The
scorpion in the Golden Grahams. I mean, there are just so many stupid lawsuits out there. And they sort of, it's really, we have these stupid lawsuits to thank because these stupid lawsuits cost the company so much money, so much time, so much effort, that they're trying to come up with ways to get out of having to do these stupid lawsuits. And now it's going to hurt the people who do have legitimate claims.
General Mills, their privacy policy here, it doesn't say you can't do anything about it. It limits it to binding arbitration. And arbitration, it's a more cost-effective alternative to a civil lawsuit. I mean, if you found glass in your cereal, you could still go after General Mills through arbitration and still get compensated for it.
Arbitration, though, tends – arbitration, when it comes to companies versus people, tends to always fall in the favor of the corporation. When it comes to arbitration, the individual only wins approximately 28% of the time. So arbitration is already tilted in favor of the company. Well, then let's move on to the legal issue of this. I really don't – because to give away your legal right to sue, you have to be, quote, according to the law, informed that that is what you're doing. I don't think burying one sentence in 15 paragraphs of legalese in a terms of service qualifies as informing the consumer that they are giving away their rights. I think this is a bold attempt to try and get people to stop suing. But I agree with Kat. There's no way this holds up in court.
Yeah, it's the whole, you know, you can't just have like a little note on your Facebook page and that, I mean, you just can't do that. It's not considered, you know, producing enough information. I don't think a lot of this, once it starts to go to court, and it will, I don't think it'll go over very well.
Well, let's move on then to the one religious story we have this week. And isn't it weird, Kat, since we tend to talk about religion a lot, we've only got one this week?
I mean, I'm sure we could come up with some more off the top of our heads, but yeah, it's kind of weird.
Well, what happened was Shannon Morgan of Leesburg, New Jersey, wanted to get a custom license plate that said it was the number 8 with theist, 8 theist, atheist. Well, the DMV said she couldn't do that because it is, quote, considered objectionable. She filed a lawsuit saying, why is this objectionable when Baptist is okay? Other religious license plates are okay. So what that comes down to is they're saying it's objectionable not because it's religious, but because it's not religious. It's objectionable.
Yeah, because atheism is not a religion. It's simply the absence of religion. And so it's not really a religious matter at all, but it does tend to rile the religious majority.
But at the same time, the DMV being a government institution is endorsing then Baptist and refusing to endorse non-religion, isn't that a violation of the separation of church and state?
Yeah, it is, because I've been looking at the word Baptist and trying to think of a non-religious connotation for that word, and I can't.
I don't think there is.
That is completely religious. And the fact that they'll approve Baptist, but anything, not Baptist, that's bad.
So this is weird, because this was basically a person putting a word into a program online and it rejecting it. You know,
but that somebody had to have had programmed in that rejection at the source, though.
So it makes me wonder who went into the programming, who was responsible for the programming. Was this a program that was farmed out to a third party company? Was it actually coded by somebody who works for the state? Because this could be the first instance where this happened in this state.
In Michigan, an Iraq war veteran was not allowed to get a license plate that said infidel.
And they're supposed to be weeding out words or sentiments that could be considered hateful or maybe not inflammatory, but, you know, they're just trying to keep people from rear-ending one another on the principle of what's on their license plate. And so it really makes me wonder who programmed this and where it was programmed, because it might not have been the state. My guess would be something like this would be farmed out to a third, like an outside company who just plugged in a bunch of words, and it might not necessarily reflect the ideas of the state, and this could just be the first instance in which this has come up.
Well,
it's probably not, but it could be.
The New Jersey Administrative Code prohibits personalized license plates from displaying, quote, any combination of alphabetic characters or numbers or both that may carry connotations offensive to good taste and decency, unquote. That's a pretty fucking broad code there, isn't it?
Yes, but what I'm saying is that the state of New Jersey, some programmer might not have been the one to program and decide what's offensive or not. It could have been a third party. And so if somebody's going to sue, you know, obviously they're going for the state of New Jersey. New Jersey is probably going to go, oh, well, whoever we fucking paid to do this is just getting our asses grilled. So what I'm saying is that I would be very interested to know who was responsible for inputting what is considered offensive into this program.
Maybe because it has the word heist in it, and it comes back as being violent.
Because of, like, bank robbers like and shit?
It could be. Like, this is my robbing mobile.
Robbing mobile, huh?
It sounds like something the Joker would have.
It does, actually. Well, but then it also comes down to personalized license plates. Unless you're going to put the word fuck or something in there, it does come down to some person is deciding what's, quote, objectionable and what is not. And clearly, whoever coded this, whether it was the state or, as Kat pointed out, most likely a third party, they were deciding religion is good, non-religion is not. The reason that this kind of pissed me off was not that she couldn't get her license plate. A lot of customized license plates get rejected. It's the fact that someone in this process decided that pro-religion license plates are okay. And I'm not even going to say atheism is anti-religion, but no religion license plates are not. So I wonder if we explored this a little deeper in New Jersey, would some combination that's spelled out like Allah Awakba be okay? Or anything like that? Would a Muslim phrase? That would be the big tell, is if something pro-Islam would be kicked, but then still pro-Christianity be allowed. That, I think, would be the telling moment.
Should get a license plate that says Quran number one.
Pretty sure that would be rejected. And that would be the interesting test, I think, of this. Because you are not allowed to endorse any religion. And clearly, whoever coded the system for the New Jersey License Plate Bureau at the DMV clearly had a bias towards religion. So that's my thing on this. All right, Kat, I don't know what kind of a custom license plate you have, but I'm sure it would have where we could find you on it.
That would be, like, the longest license plate ever, because you can find me at so many different places, including on Twitter at LabyrinthCat and Facebook.com/NerdistCat. And you can also find me on my other show, Nerd to the Third Power, over on That Guy with the Glasses under the podcast tab.
And Alex, if he had a car, his license plate would say,
geekjuicemedia.com.
Not sure that would fit, but fair enough. I'm at the same geekjuicemedia.com, as well as 1201beyond.com, and you can contact the show at 1201beyond@gmail.com. Go to 1201beyond.com and buy a t-shirt, damn it!
Fuck is a 1201 Beyond production. Visit 1201beyond.com for more great shows.